Oh! and his son is having complications from diabetes. So he was on his way to Orlando, Florida, I believe today. And then last night we got the text from the Secretary of the Georgia State Council concerning the Emeritus Bishop Guthrie and our Diocesan Bishop. He's Emeritus son and our Diocesan Bishop brother. Diagnosed with cancer. So we have so much to pray about. And then they sent a request from Pastor Donahue, who had triple bypass surgery.
Thank you.
And so we count your blessings.
Amen.
And name them one by one. Amen. A lot of times people are getting called up and trying to get finances and get rich. I just rather be healthy.
Amen.
Because money cannot buy health. So we, if you have a portion of your health and strength, and you can still function, you need to tell God thank you.
Yes.
I say you need to tell God thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, because God is a good God. Truly thank God tonight for being here in the house of prayer. We thank God for my wife. We thank God for all of you. Amen. And we just thank God for the mind that we have to seek after God. We're going to ask you to stand at this time for our scripture reading. What we finished last week in Genesis, the 8th chapter, 3rd chapter, the 8th verse. So we're going to read verses 8, once again, verses 8 through 20. I'm not going to try to go too fast, too far. Amen. So we make sure we all get it. I'm afraid that we might be going a little too fast for our new saints. Amen. So I'm going to try to slow down. This week I tried to incorporate more scriptures. Because a lot of times when I teach from the knowledge that I know. And I forget that everybody doesn't know. So I'm going to try to slow down. And if you don't understand, just stop me. Because the most important thing, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing in wisdom. And then all that I get, you get what? Understanding. So we don't want you to leave not understanding. Amen. As I said, when I first learned a lot of this, when I was first saying, a lot of it, I just really couldn't get it. Seriously, I just could not get it. Especially coming from RPI and being engineer technically minded, there were so many conflicts. But I believe the word. And then in God's own time, you know, sometimes you just, this is how God works, you just be sitting down thinking about nothing. And I would today, God will speak to you and add clarity to something that you've heard before, if you receive it. Amen. That's why the Bible says receive the word of God with meekness. Because it's able to what? Save our souls. Amen. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. And as I said, I did try to get more scriptures. I'm going to go forward so that there's a lot of times when I'm teaching, there's a lot of scriptures that come to my mind that I think you all already know, and maybe you don't know. So I'm going to try to slow down enough so we can all get it. Can we say praise the Lord? So the third chapter, verse 8, do we all have that?
Amen.
It reads, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. As I said last week, we know this could not be God's spirit because his spirit filled all space.
Right?
So they hid from the presence. Physical form that they were hiding from. Amen. From the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice went in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I. Well, you cannot hide from the Spirit because God is a spirit. So if they are hiding, they have to be a physical form. That we know it's not Jesus. In the sense of being the incarnate Jesus. Right? But we will get into that later. But something was in the garden. Or someone was in the garden. Amen? And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Well, I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. And the man said, the woman. Always got to have a blame, right? The woman. Whom thou gavest to me, she gave me from the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall I eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word, and the church said,
word of the Lord,
bless already. So Adam called his wife's name Eve. He had already named her woman. But then after the fall, he gave her a new name. Amen. And then we are going to go back to Ephesians chapter 3. But I want to read a couple of scriptures to you, because as God opened our eyes concerning the revelation, remember, the deep things are revealed unto us by what? God's Spirit. Amen. The deep things are revealed unto us by the Spirit. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. We're going to read verses 2. Then Isaiah 46:10. Matthew 13, 34 through 35, Revelation 13, verse 8. Amen? No.
Okay.
I'm going to highlight this, because a lot of times we have read scriptures and we understand what it means, but it's reading, like I said, if you compare the Hebrew, the Amplified Bible, which is Hebrew, Greek, and English, you'll see a lot of things that we have assumed to be one way really aren't what they are. And I wish I knew. I had a good friend, someone who was a rabbi, because they really understand the Hebrew. The original Bible and everything, when God gave commandment, was in what language? Hebrew. It was all in Hebrew. So I've been cross-referencing a lot of these rabbis and mostly messianic teachers trying to understand what the Bible was saying. And remember, whatever God does, man always tries to change it. So people say that reading from left to right is right and reading Hebrew is backwards. But how can that be backwards when God started that? Right. So the original language was from what? Right to left. But man took it and changed it around, like he does a lot of God's other promises. But nevertheless, Proverbs 25:2, do we have that? He said, it is the glory of God to what?
Concealing.
Concealing is not obvious. It's hidden. It's inscribed. It's sort of a mystery, not in the sense of being mysterious, but it's not readily seen or known. So it's the glory of the Lord to conceal it, but the honor of kings is to what? We are just to what? Search out the matter. Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are
not yet done.
Not yet. So he declared the what? End
from the beginning.
Right, and we're going to show you through the scripture. He really did declare the end all in Genesis 1:1. We're going to go there in a minute. So he declared the end from where? The beginning. As an ancient time, things that are not yet done, he said, but my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. And let's just go to one more verse. We're going to hold off on Revelation. But let's go to Matthew 13, 34 through 35. So now we're dealing with the deep things of God, the things that have been hidden for ages. But we remember we read in Ephesians chapter 3, I think verse 9 or 10, Paul said, even though they have hidden, God has revealed them unto the what? To the church. Well, how does it be revealed? By his Spirit. So Matthew 13, verse 34 and 35. Can we have that? Jesus says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without his parables spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been, things that have been kept what? Secret from the wind. So from the foundation, God has some stuff that is not obvious. Alright? Now, let's go to our notes. Now, we had a technical problem, so I kind of got lost in my notes. But nevertheless, thank God for redemption. Amen. But this chart, the first chart, the first chart that we're going to pull up, this shows the progression of the Hebrew language from the beginning when God first spoke. Now, we've heard about hieroglyphics, right? That's when God in the beginning did not use a written language, but he used pictures or pictographs to depict what he was doing. Today we still use pictographs, right? Because if you're driving down the road and you see a circle with a right hand, that means no what? Right hand turn. So we still use pictures to represent. If you're driving down the road and you have a sign and you see a bunch of legs crossing in a triangle, and there's a crossing, they say this is a theater crossing. And if you were in Maine, to my surprise, they have moose crossings. But they still use pictographs. When you go to the bathroom, if they don't write anything, you can look and tell what it is by the pictures, right? Because men are in pants, and ladies are in dresses, or whatever. I don't know why. I just go in the pants. Skirt, dress, something, they skirts. But nevertheless, we're still using pictographs. Right? If you're driving down the road and you see a big circle and an X in it, you know, and they say slow down, you come to a what? A railroad crossing. Right? So pictographs is something that we still use today. The original language was all pictures. Remember this, the original language that God uses all pictures. Alright? And that's so important, you know, as like I said, in comparing the Hebrew, the English, and the Greek, remember the pictures sent far more of a message than anything. And so the Messianic Jews have been in debate with the traditional Jews who don't believe in the Messiah, because they said one thing has not changed from the beginning. Those pictures still represent the same. No rabbi, anybody can argue against that, because that's a language that who established? God. That's a language that God established. So I just gave you these charts on progression. You see the early, middle, late. All right, and these are the names and the pictures that these words represent. You see, for instance, the Aleph is a octave, which means power, strength, or first. Now, the Tau or the Tav, which is the last, is represented by a cross or a stick, and it means either a crucifixion or a covenant. Okay, so that you got that. Now let's go to page 3. You know, like I said, this is how God deals with me. When I go with something, when I can't leave it, that means I miss something. So I always go back. Well, in going back through this, I went to Genesis 1:1 again. Remember I told you all we, I was trying to figure out what was the ET? Yes, thank you, sir. You're the ball. Alright, so now listen to what God does in the very first verse. Remember, he declared the end from when? From the beginning. God told the whole plan of salvation. From the beginning in one verse. Alright, so we can't stay in 1:1 forever, but it's astounding what God did. Alright, so in the beginning is the word. word Beth, Resh, Af, Shin, Yod, and Tau or Tav. That's in the beginning. Now, God starts the verse off with, now you would think, who would be the most important one to start the verse off with? Should be who? God. But he doesn't start off with God. He starts off with the Beth Resh, who is the Son. Right? Y'all with me? Do y'all see that? The Son. See, that's how he starts. The Beth Resh. Remember, we're going from right to left. He starts off with the Son. And then he goes after the Son. The Af is the ox head of the block. So it's the Son of God. This is the first sentence in the beginning. The Son of God was destroyed by his own arm on the cross. That's what in the beginning means. In the picture part, we don't get that in the words, right? Because you can't see that. So the very in the beginning says the Son of God, before God, they talk about the Son first. The Son of God was destroyed by his own power on the cross. In the beginning. Alright. Then we continue on. So if we compare Revelation 13:8, read, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name was not written in the book of life. We're talking about the Antichrist. Of the Lamb who was what? Well, he tells us in the beginning that the Lamb was slain. Right? From the But you don't get it when you read it in the regular word, writing the word. You only get it through the pictograph.
Amen.
Where did you ask the beginning?
No, it's not even a question, but no. This is the first time I've saw that scripture. I've seen that scripture a million times. This is the first time I saw that scripture like that, and it was it. Whose name is not written in the book of life. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation. I've always heard that. I've always read it.
Yeah.
But now we just
well, because the thing is, we read the Bible, but we read it as word, and we lose the significance. So in the beginning, now we're going to go all the way to just chapter verse 1. In the beginning, all right. Then so it says, let's go to the Creator. All right. So in the beginning, God created. So it says the Son of God was slain by his own power on a cross. Now created in the pictograph, if we go to the next one, whenever you see the back rest, it's always the what? The Son. And it's represented by bar, B-A-R. That's why when a Jewish child reaches the age of 13, they have a what? Bar mitzvah. All right? Because it says, up until a child turns 13, and this is Billy Gaines' last song on this other gift, so I think some of you might remember this. He said, a child different nothing from a slave until he's 13, because he has no rights. Then at the bar mitzvah, when he makes his, that's when he makes his covenant, the son covenant as his son, he becomes a man. That knows, they talk about Jesus when his parents, remember his parents, and then we went to Jerusalem, and when they left, they could not find him. He was there, and they said, how old was he? 12 years old. Right? Because he still was a child. He differed not from a servant. He was only 12. So from after 12, you don't have nothing about his age. Because then he reaches the bar mitzvah, which is where now he is a son. Right? So all after that, 12 years old, so you have to pay attention to when God puts stuff in this for a reason. God says not to do stuff just haphazardly. But nevertheless, alright, so the best rest in Creator really is Son of God. Right? So Creator, so it says that the Son of God, who was slain by all power on the cross, and the Son of God. Right? Because Colossians says, by him, who is Jesus, was all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth. So creation, the word of creation is Son of God. Oh, the depth of the riches. Both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Okay? So now let's continue. We're still in the first. first verse. All right, now we get to God. First we get the Son of God, now we get to God. And God is the Elohim. All right, the Elohim, which is represented by the F. God may have more illustrations later than all. Right? The F, the Lamed, the He, the Yod, and the Mem. Well, when you see God's name, to the right it tells you what it means. God's name, every time you see Elohim, it means the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green, he leadeth me besides the still water. Well, the ox head is the ass. The hook, or the shepherd's staff, all right? When you see the man holding, means to be whole up to worship. This is why God, he didn't use words. This is what he did to, for his name. Then the arm and the hand and the word, and the mem, which is water. So it can also be in short form version, it could be the Lord is my shepherd. Every time you see God, you know him. It says, God is my shepherd. All right, now let's continue. We went over the ET of the Aftab, and we know that that means the first and the last, and it also means that he was sacrificed on the cross. All right, that's the ET. Now let's go to page 5. And the first one is just another illustration of the ET. Now let's go to the heavens. Now this is God's name. He says the Son of God was crucified on the cross. Then he takes the Son of God created, because he is the creator. Right? Then the Lord is our shepherd. Now the heaven, this is the picture of word God for heavens. It's the hay, which is the arm, which means to behold. The shin, which means to consume or to destroy. The mem, which is the waters. The yod, which is the arm, the power, the word. And the mem, mem is also water. So if we go down to the say, therefore we see the heavens means specifically, behold, the works of your hands will be consumed and destroyed by water. When did that happen? At Noah. He's walking us through the plan of salvation in the what?
First verse.
Because he declared the end. Right, so we read it, but we never make a connection. In the beginning, he tells you what's going to happen. All right, so that's the heaven. Then we go to the Vav Af Tav, which is the set. God Himself was nailed on the cross to make sure the covenant. God would. It didn't say the Son of God. This time, God was nailed on the cross to make sure the covenant. And then as we go to the earth, if earth is represented by a man's arm and hands, which means gift or grace of God, the ass or the ox head, which is God, the resh or the tail of a man, which is the first person, and the sade, which means to hunt or to fish. All right, so the earth is comprised of the Hebrew letters A, F, Resh, Sadi. The letter A was pictured, we went over that. Let's drop down a little further. Go down, it says, the symbolic meaning of the Sadi was to hunt or fish. The conclusion of Sadi is even more remarkable. It is our great commission to go fishing and hunting. Who said that?
Jesus.
Right, did Jesus say that? So the earth, it's the grace of God in Jesus' Son who died and rose again. Now go fishing.
Amen.
All and nothing. But if you don't know the pictograph, you don't get it. Alright, so we get it now. Amen.
Amen.
This was God's promise to the world. Moreover, Jesus first chose fishermen to be his disciples, and he told them he would make them. So it fulfills what he said from the
beginning.
Because he declared the end.
From the beginning.
But if you don't know the pictograph, right, you miss it. Amen. Let's go a little deeper. There are five Hebrew letters which have a suffix form, which is used when one of these five letters concludes a word, such as Sade in the earth. The traditional form of the Sade is a man on bent knees or lying down, representing humility, as in to kneel before or to lay down one's life. Well, who laid down their life? Jesus said, I laid down and I do what? Pick it up. He didn't say, I laid down. The Father picks it up. He said, I have power to lay down and I have power to. He said, no man take my life. But I do what? I lay it down. Amen? The suffering form is the righteous man upright with hands held high. The Hebrew word tzadik means righteous person. If this is not a picture of Christ Jesus, I don't know what it is. The humble servant laying down his life. Right? All in God. The first verse. The first verse tells the whole plan of salvation. But if you don't have a pictograph, you miss it. Alright, and I just thought, now we all know we went over the Yahweh is the covenant God. Now, this is what the Yahweh, a Lord, when you say Yahweh, this is what Lord represents. Is the hand, behold, look at it. The nail, behold. So every time they saw, they didn't see Lord, they saw, behold, the hand. Behold the nail. That's the law. That's the covenant.
Yes. Wow.
But if you don't have the pictograph, look at somebody and say, you're missing. Alright. And then we just went over Adam. We go over Adam. But let's go over the serpent. We go over Adam. Adam represents, actually, let's go to Adam's name. Now, when he named Adam, Adam had not yet fallen, right? When he made Adam, he called him Adam, which means he came from the ground. So man had not yet fallen. But remember, the Jews are the Hebrew, and God does not use names for nothing. But names describes the person and the what? Character. Jewish names describe the person and the character. So Adam, which is the Aleph, Dalet, Mem, all right? Now the Dalet, Mem is also blood. So the Aleph is the ox, the bull, the strength. The Dalet is the door. Mem is one or chaos. So what it says is that Adam, you want to be the door to chaos. What was the chaos? Sin. As by one man, sin came into the world. Right? Through the blood. Right? Because he also was the first blood man. So the door to blood came through Adam. And also chaos and sin came through Adam. But without the pictograph, you wouldn't get it. I thought when I looked at serpent, I tried to find some other ones. I found Eve, but I couldn't find all of them. Right? I found all of Eve. And I was really astounded to find out this. You know how many times Eve is mentioned in the Old Testament? Two times. The whole Testament, the first woman is only mentioned two times. I'm like, wow. Right? But I know a portion of Eve's name means a door to destruction. But I couldn't get the rest, so I can mess with Eve. If I find it, I'll let you know. Right? So Eve, a portion of her name meant the door to destruction. Because she's the one that led Adam into sin. She was the door. Alright, but the serpent, I'm just saying, that's why I gave you this. Do the pictographs. It will astound you when you read some of this. Alright? So the serpent is represented by the Dan, which is the life, on the seat of life, the Chet, which is to cut off, and the Shin, which is to destroy or consume. This, the pictograph, this, when you saw serpent, you didn't see serpent. You saw this sea, you saw this wall that was to cut off, and you saw the W, which means to consume or destruction. Alright? So it means, and I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, and between your feet and her feet, he will crush your head and you will strike his. But they have not yet fallen. But God is using the name to show you the character of a future event that's about to take place. Can we say praise the Lord? Alright, so that's good enough for that. But like I said, to me it was interesting. To those Messianic Jews that all saw, those Messianic Jews, when they know the Bible. But when they start putting the pictures to it, they were like, wow! Right? All the stuff they know for years. And he said, these things have troubled the minds of the rabbis because they won't accept that Jesus has come. And they just cannot figure out, what is all of this? Well, it tells the story. Amen? All right, so let us go to page 9 of your notes. Actually, let's go to page 10. We went over page 9 already. Let's go over 9. I'm not going to read everything. Last week we went over the fact that they heard the voice of the Lord doing what? Now, so a lot of times what God was just making sounds. I wanted to show you how a lot of theologians believe that this was a physical being that was in the garden while they were walking, and they heard sound and they tried to hide. Everybody knows God is a what? Spirit. Where can you hide from God? Adam knew this. Eve knew this. So they were hiding in the trees. What were they hiding from? A spirit or from a physical form? Think about it. It had to be a physical form. Amen? All right, so let's go ahead. Let's go to page 10. And we're going to start off with Genesis 3:8. I already mentioned the fact that Adam changed Eve's name, changed the woman's name to Eve after she failed. And what I was able to find out is he named her to me. Every time he called her name, he would remind her, you are the one who led me into fall. Every time he said Eve, her name meant destruction. On the door to destruction. So every time he said Eve, it reminded her, if it weren't for you, I wouldn't be where I am now. That's why he only called her two times. Only two times in the scriptures. Only two times in all the scriptures he mentioned. But he said, Adam named her, so he said, every time I call you Eve, remember, give it one for you, and we still be in the garden. So some of the best enemies people said, Adam had a little problem with forgiveness. But every time he called his wife, he was reminded her, give it one for you, we still be in paradise. Right? So that's good. Let's go to Genesis 3:8. It says, and they heard divorce, and that's the Hebrew word, wow. So whenever you see the brown, if I don't put Hebrew, that means the Hebrew word for it. Yes, ma'am.
For some reason, they kind of like hear these names.
leave. I gotta leave you alone. Actually, Zoe's in there. Zoe means wife.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Zoe's in there. She means wife. Yes, no. Well, actually, we're going to. I think there are some names we can look if we get far enough down. Okay. So let's keep going here. So the Hebrew growl means to make a sound. It's not a voice, but it's a sound. All right. So they heard the sound of the Lord God doing what? Walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, the woman. Now, at this time, they're not mentioning their covenant relationship, right? Because whenever they mention husband and wife, Adam is called Ish, I-S-H. In this verse, it's no longer Ish, but Adam, right? Because it's not the relationship with the husband and wife. So it says, Adam and his wife hid themselves from God. The union is kind of broken here because of what? Sin. And next week, I didn't want to give you too much this week. Next week, we will show you what the name man, woman, wife, husband means. But not this week. All right? Well, I do have it, but I don't have time. All right. They hid themselves from the presence. Presence means the face. All right? The Hebrew word peniel, which means face of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. I honestly believe, and many of the theologians believe, that Genesis 2:7, when the Lord God formed man, right, and breathed into him, that means that was a face to face. He did what? Breathed into man. And 21:22, when he took the rib and made the woman and brought her to heaven. Right, so as God's in heaven, he said, I'll be broken, and you go to the would have sent her. But he did what? Brought her. So if you're going to bring somebody, you have to leave them. Right? They have to follow you. So he brought her. Alright? And Genesis 3:8 are a theophany. Alright? Now what is a theophany? A theophany is a visible manifestation of God and is usually restricted to the Old Testament. And why would a theophany be limited to the Old Testament? Because in the New Testament, we have God walking around with us. He was who?
Jesus.
So a theophany. Now, a lot of people say that was the pre-incarnate Christ. It was not the pre-incarnate Christ. Because the pre-incarnate Christ did not exist until the body was yet through the virgin birth. But it was a spiritual form. And we would go on to see what most believe. And I have to keep this name, another name you couldn't find. I couldn't find Eve and I couldn't find Melchizedek, because usually those pictures, those pictographs will tell you exactly who it is. Right? But I could not find Melchizedek anywhere, but I did try. Alright? But let's keep going. So a theophany is a visible manifestation of God, usually restricted to the Old Testament, because New Testament, Jesus is the visible manifestation of God. In the Old Testament, the theophany, okay? And then let's read the scriptures to show that God did appear. All right? And we don't want to just throw stuff out of the air without having some kind of foundation to prove or substantiate what we are. Are y'all with me so far? Are y'all new saints with me? Are y'all old saints with me? All right, so now let's go to Genesis chapter 17, all right? It said, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 99, Lord what?
Appeared.
Now that's the Hebrew word, ra, which means a physical form. All right? So when he was 99, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Genesis 18:1 says, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Mamre, and he said at the tent door in the human day. So these are physical. He said he appeared unto him. And as we go, somebody said, well, I just don't understand how. Hopefully you get more clarity. Amen? Exodus 6:2-3. We went over this in the beginning when they said that that Abraham did know him by his covenant name. He only knew by the name Almighty God. You know this. But 6:2 reads, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am
the Lord.
And I he did what? He appeared unto Abraham, he appeared unto Isaac, and he appeared unto Jacob. By the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known. Now remember, Jehovah means behold the hand, behold the nail. That's what Jehovah means. They didn't know him as by that name. They only knew him by the name Almighty God. I think that's the L, okay? Which would be the head, which would be the, what was the resh? I don't know what you would do. Y'all look at the chart. I don't want to go back, all right? All right, so let's keep going. So now let's go to Exodus 24:9-11. Now we say he's appearing. He appeared unto Abraham. He appeared unto Isaac. He appeared unto Jacob. Well, how did he, in what form? He obviously was not a spirit because they saw him. Right? Okay, we keep going. Exodus 24:9-11. I see Sister Virginia look up. She's like, what? All right, let's keep going. Then went up Moses, and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw who? They heard, no, they what? They saw it. Well, what are they seeing? All these people are seeing. What are they seeing? All right? A theophany is an appearance. It ain't all of God and it wasn't Jesus, because Jesus hadn't been created yet. But we keep going to read it today, all right? Verse 10 said, and they saw the God of Israel that was on his feet as it were a big work of sapphire. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also,
they saw God.
They what?
Saw God.
They saw who?
God.
It's telling you they saw God. And we know it wasn't the entirety of God, but they said a physical form of God. So some say the Lord appeared, that God appeared. Why? Because the Lord is God. All right? The Lord is God. Remember Saul? He said, Lord, who are you? Because he's not Jesus, whom thou persecuted. And Saul, before his conversion to Paul, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrew. All he believed is, behold, here is the Lord our God is
one Lord.
One Lord. That's why he was astonished. He said, Lord is Jesus? You mean the Old Testament Lord is
Hallelujah.
Jesus? This is what he said. That's why the Bible said he was astonished. Because he's like, hey, he said, all this time I thought that you are impossible. But let's keep going. We ain't got time to say that either. All right, so now let's go to Genesis 32:24. Now he appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I didn't find Isaac, but we did find Abraham and the Jacob. Verse 24 said, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with him a spirit until the breaking of the day. Who wrestled with him? A who? A man. Not a spirit, but a physical man wrestled with Jacob. We went over before, that's when he said, well, what is your name? He said, my name is Jesus. You can't know that. But nevertheless, let's keep going. Verse 30 said, and Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for he said, for I have seen
God face to face.
Well, how did he see God face to face? What was he? A
man.
He wrestled with a man. He said, I've seen
God
face to face. And I did it. Because they believe whenever you saw God face to face, that meant instant death. Alright? So now let's continue. In Deuteronomy 34:10 says, this is God writing about Moses. And there was not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew. How did God know him face to face if he's a spirit? He has to be in a what kind of form? A visible, physical form. Alright? Luke 24:24-31. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so. Now that was, I'm going to use the New Testament to show you how the Old Testament Lord could appear and disappear. In the New Testament, Lord could also appear and
disappear.
Even though he was in a physical form, a theophany now, okay? Are you with me? He said, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found him, even so as the woman had said. But him, they talk about Jesus now. And Jesus, when he walked with the two men on the road to Emmaus, and they're asking him questions, and he's talking to them, and he said, why are you so sad today? Dr. Philip, Dr. Ethan, why are you so sad? He said, don't you know what's happened? That Jesus was crucified, and someone to the sepulchre and could not find him? All right, so this leads up to this. You can read that in your spare time. It says, and beginning at, then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Right? But the Bible said, no flesh is going to glory in his presence. And God's glory he will not share with another. So if he's in his glory, and there's only one glory, then the glory has to be Jesus God. That's no charge. Alright, into his glory. And beginning at Moses. Because Moses wrote about Jesus. Beginning at Moses. And all the prophets, he has found unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning
himself.
Well, Moses was writing about the Lord. How could he be talking about himself? Right? Because he said that Moses and then he said, I'm just telling you about myself. Well, who wrote about me? Moses and the prophets. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament? No, in the Old Testament. Alright? Are y'all with me? Alright, y'all be quiet. And they drew nigh to the city, unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. Now remember, this is his glorified state. Amen? And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes. So he's with them. Their eyes are open. I'm thinking of John, the 20th chapter, when he's with them, he eats, but he's a spirit. Right? Because he's a theophany as well. The God of the old is the same God of the new.
Yes.
The Lord of the old is the Lord of the new. Alright? And they knew him and he. The man just vanished. Right? He just
disappeared.
Just like he did in the Old Testament. Alright, now let's keep going. Okay? Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday. Today and forever. That forever means in all ages. Past age, he's the same. Present age, he's the same. Future age, he is the same. Amen. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord and I. He doesn't say for I am God, but I am who? The Lord. I change not. Amen. If not, Jesus both. He said, what? Lord and Christ. So the Lord of the Old Testament is also the Lord in the
New Testament.
Amen. Acts 2:36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know, that means beyond any shadow of doubt, you got to know this, that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified,
both Lord and
Christ. That's the Lord and Christ. When they heard it, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? All right, we're not there. Was not Jesus after the order of
Melchizedek?
He's after that order. There's something about Jesus now. A high priest usually came from the tribe of who? Levi, right? The Levites were the high priest. Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi, but he was from the tribe of Judah. Right? So he brings in another order, another priestly order, right? Right? What tribe is Jesus from? Judah. The line of the tribe of Judah. Right? So he was from Judah. Alright? Was not Jesus after the order of Melchizedek? He's a type of Melchizedek. Alright? Psalms 110:4 says, the Lord has sworn. born and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 7, 1 through 3, and verse 17 of Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter. And you can read about that in Genesis, the 14th chapter, when they had taken Lot and the five kings, and Abraham armed his servants' house and went and delivered them. All right? Y'all with me? Okay.
I just have a quick question.
Right.
With what you're talking about with the theophany, I was just wondering, is that the same idea as the scripture in Hebrews that says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware?
It could be similar stuff. Angels are angels. Theophany is what they appearance of God.
Oh, okay.
All right, so that's true, because the scripture does say, be careful how you entertain strangers, because you entertain angels unaware. But the theophany was God himself, it wasn't an angel.
Okay?
All right, so let's keep going. It says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Now, you know, you don't give a tenth to anybody, right? First being by interpretation, king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, this Melchizedek had no father, no mother, and they didn't know where he came from, having neither beginning of days nor but he was
made like the son of God.
Remember when Nebuchadnezzar threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire? He said, hey, can we do it three? He said, but how do I see the fourth? And the fourth has the form of the son of God. The only Old Testament, they knew about the son of God. So he said, now, Kinsman is after the order of the son of God. Amen. You still with me?
Yeah.
And by the priest continually. For he testified that thou art a priest forever after the order of. Now Jesus, he's talking about that, after the order of Melchizedek. In John 8, 56 through 8. This is when the Jews were saying, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, well, your father Abraham, he rejoices in my name. He said, but when did Abraham see Jesus? I'm not telling you what I think. This is what the Word of God says, right? He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and when he saw it, he was glad. The Jews looked at him as, wait a minute, you ain't even 50 years old yet. But how did Abraham see your day? Right? He says, Jesus said, verse 58, Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was,
I am.
He's telling you, when Moses saw God in the burning bush, he said, who are you? He said, I am. He said, now before Abraham was, I am. Well, the question is, when did Abraham see? When did he see it? Right? Because Jesus was at the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek was at the order of Jesus. But didn't we just read that? This was a theophany, an appearance of God. We see that Melchizedek is the very first and only visible form of God that we name in Genesis, in the 14th chapter. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Now let's compare Genesis 2:7, 21 through 22, and Genesis 3:10. And when they heard the voice of the Lord, they were walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now the only name that we can attribute to anyone that they appeared to would be who? Melchizedek. Because Jesus and Abraham saw my day, and he was glad. Well, when did Abraham see him? Right. He appeared unto him several times, but he saw him when he gave tithes of all that he had. Verse 9 says, the Lord God called to Adam and said, where art thou? Alright? So, many believe that Melchizedek was the one in the garden, and that Melchizedek also was the one that appeared unto Abraham. Amen. And we could go further, but let's stop there. Because we actually, Shire, can you go to me? That's page 12. Let me get 13, 14, and 15. Because that's really important to all right, well, let's go to 13 now. So we believe that the Melchizedek of the Old Testament was after the Lord, after Jesus, Jesus after his Lord. So many believe that the Melchizedek was the one that they saw in the garden. We call it a very biblical form.
So then you're saying that Melchizedek is God.
You don't have your mic right here.
I'm very loud.
You said what now? You said what?
So what you're saying is Melchizedek, what they believe is Melchizedek is God.
Melchizedek is definitely, he's a high priest, he's definitely God. He has no beginning, no end, no descent. Okay.
Thank you.
But he's a theophany, he's a manifestation
of God.
Alright. So a lot of times they say they saw Jesus, it was they were after the heart of the same type, Melchizedek. Right? Because Jesus didn't become Jesus to Mary. Alright? Well, we went over the Yahweh once again, it means behold the hand, behold the nail. Go to page 14. I thought this was very interesting. After we do Yahweh, behold the hand, with the hand, behold the nail, behold. Even God's holy name points to Yeshua, our who? Jesus. Yeshua, Yahweh, Jesus, was found in ancient Paleo Hebrew script, which is the way the name of Yeshua looked as he wrote his personal name in the tablets of the stone on Mount Sinai with his own finger. So when God wrote it, that's just how he wrote it. YHW, but it was all in pictures, all right? Now, you see, the names of the book of the scriptures, almost every book of the Bible has Yeshua, a Yahuwah. Alright? Joshua's real name was Yahashua, means Yahuwah is salvation. Samuel's real name is Shemuel. Listen to Yahuwah, your Eloha. Isaiah name was Yahoo. Salvation is Yahuwah. But just be all the way through each, there's only when you get to the New Testament, there's three names, I believe, Titus, Philemon, and I thought there was one other that doesn't have the name Yahuwah in it. Oh, and Timothy, he doesn't have Yahuwah, but it has Eloha. Every other than the Torah, or the five Pentateuch, every other book of the Bible, 73, has a reference to Yahuwah, Yeshua, or Jesus. Only God, if you read their relationships, it tells you relationships, only our wise God could have done something like this. Amen. So we thank God for that. Do we have any questions before we close here? Any question now? It wasn't Jesus, but it was, they believe it was Melchizedek because he was after the order of Jesus, and Jesus was after the order of Melchizedek. But Jesus said, because remember, Jesus is the who? The Lord, right? He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. And then Isaiah in the 6th chapter, he said, I saw the Lord. Right? He saw who? The Lord. He was what? High and lifted up. And his chain filled the temple. But he saw the Lord. What are they saying? They can't be saying a spirit, because a spirit is just like the air. You can't see a spirit. You can feel it, but I can feel the wind blowing, but you can't see a spirit. Amen? Alright, if hopefully I didn't cloud anybody's mind. Hopefully I didn't cloud, yes.
This isn't a question, it's just an observation. You know how Satan always tries to take what God has or what's God's and make it his or use it wrong? So I was thinking when you're talking about the Hebrew in the original writing and reading being from right to left, when you think about now with what Satan has done with music, like when you play it from right to left and you play it backwards, how now it's all like subliminal, satanic type messages. So a lot of times people are afraid of doing stuff backwards, you know, from right to left going that way because Satan has tainted that process.
Well, it's like a lot of people say, the cross, when we say the cross, and which in the New Testament is the Staros, Staros. A lot of them say that was an hell state when Jesus was crucified with two hands together and the feet. Well, if God is saying that he was crucified on the cross, then it has to be a cross, right? And then Brother Chris would write something, as time progressed, the cross was like an X. But when you turned it, it still was the cross. Right? So he had to be crucified on the cross. So what the devil did, or what Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, alright, it's a whole lot to that too, but what they did is they took Tammuz, the T in Tammuz, brought it down and made the T and said it was a Tau representing Tammuz. But remember, they always say Tammuz was the son of God, S-U-N, of God. They believe the first Trinity was Tammuz, Semiramis, and Nimrod. Nimrod was the moon, Semiramis was the Nimrod was the sun, Semiramis was the moon, and Tammuz was supposed to be the sun, a sun god. So they took that T to tame it to make people believe that that T has to do with Tammuz. But if God had it in the beginning and that was a part of his pictograph, then it has to be right. Amen? Alright, yes sir.
This is not a question, it's more, really it's just so interesting. If I were, according for maybe more sense, I think when we started, we read Genesis 3, and then we got to verse 14, how that serpent, God says, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go.
Right.
So, the fact that the serpent was actually upright first.
Upright first.
And because the adversary used a serpent, that's how today snake serpents slither on their stomach.
Right.
And then you skip down to verse 18, thorns also thistle shall it bring forth to thee. The thorns and things of that nature were not a part of God's
Right.
That's because of sin.
Right.
And then in verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Meaning now man has to work.
Yes.
And it was never intended for that, but just due to the sin.
That's why Adam made her Eve. Every time he saw it, says, this is all about you.
So that all this stuff was brought about because of sin. And that
really
wasn't the intent.
The working of the ground, and the women bring, I don't know how they were going to bring for children originally, but I think he sealed the deal. Right? He says it's sorrow. So you bring forth, right? But actually, next week we're going to go over a little more of from 15 on down. We just don't have time to do it tonight. And we show you, because it says, the seed was going to come through the woman. Now the seed always comes through the woman, the man. But in the virgin birth, it said that the serpent was going to bruise the seed of the woman. So remember that. Because the seed never came through the woman, but the seed should have come through the man. We'll go over that next week.
was the serpent always in that shape, in that form? I know it was upright, but I saw one depiction of the serpent with a man's type of a body and a beastly type of a head.
He made man from the dust of the ground. I don't think the serpent, there's nothing ever to look like man but man. And he took woman and he made her out of the dust. I don't think the serpent ever was like a man. He was always a beast. You know, but originally he was upright. But because he deceived the woman, then God cursed him and he crawled. He said, dust shall ye eat all your days.
Just thinking upright with the tail, I mean, did he have legs?
Yeah, but you ever see those cobras? They got the chance to fly. So, I mean, if you look at a cobra, they can be upright, they just can't, they don't stay upright when they are.
One more thing. I had a question on this, and then I found out my Spanish sister also had a question concerning this. And maybe sometime you can.
You have a Spanish sister?
Yes, sister Annabella is my Spanish sister.
Oh, okay.
But last week you referenced it a little bit, the scriptures talk about it. But Jesus seated at the right hand of God.
Yeah, we go over there. That's a whole lot.
Okay, all right.
But really, it just means power and authority.
Okay.
He's not there. I give you a scripture because Jesus, when he makes reference, he said he's on the right hand of power. And it's in Mark, he says he's going to be on the right hand of power. So when it says the right hand, all it means is authority. Just like in the old days when there were kings and stuff, they always did it with the right hand. It's just a sign of authority, you know. So a lot of the stuff I was trying to cross-reference it, not with the writing or the pictures, because they see a whole lot more. Right? But we go over that next week. But that's a whole lot involved. Because even Stephen saw him sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. Well, we know there's only one throne. But that right hand, all it means is the authority. Remember after Jesus resurrected, he said, all in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Right? All power. Because he has the authority. Then he said, all power, whatever you do, do it in my name. Including baptism.